You're listening to the Filthy Fantasy Football Show.
All right, everybody, welcome into another exciting episode of the Filthy Fantasy Football Show, a safe space for all you foul-mouthed fantasy players out there. Tonight, it's your boys, King Josh King and the Fantasy Fish.
How's it going?
It's, you know what's funny? I was just thinking about it. This might be the first episode where it's just you and me.
No, I think we had to do some last year when Rome was sick. But oh, yeah, we don't do it too often.
That's because we were saying...
Or you're not available, and then me and Rome don't know how to do the intro, so we don't do it.
Well, that's what I was saying. We should just cut the intro and the outro, and then he just impose it in post, and then just record the middle.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Actually, you know what's funny? I have a funny question for you. It's not fantasy football related, but would you rather get $50,000 to suck one dick or $1,000 for every dick you suck?
So I'd have to suck 50 dicks to get more than 50,000.
Yeah. So if you
I'll
suck
just take 50, the 50 grand.
If you suck 51 dicks, you will make $1,000 more.
I don't have time to suck 51 dicks. So
that's true.
It's a little bit of a double-edged sword there, right? Like I'll go with the one and I'll take my 50 grand and
Like to me it's tempting to just do $1,000 per dick. Because if you're like if you do like 3 or 4 a week, you made like $4,000. And then next thing you know,
it depends how long you can last. I mean, in theory, this offers up until I'm dead, right? So if I, you know, if I can do one a month for 15 years, then
yeah,
you're on a roll. You're looking good. That's all.
And it's 2023.
It's extra money.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I don't know.
You could keep doing the podcast. You keep doing your job. You just suck like 2-3 dicks a month. You make an extra $2,000-$3,000.
You probably could do that right now if you lived in the right spot.
I was about to say, it's not this deal actually isn't actually. I'll tell you what, listeners, if someone wants to pay me $50,000, I'll blow you.
Interesting.
You know what's fun? Remember that old thing where we used to talk about, like, would you do something gay for X amount of money? It's like, it's surprising how affordable I am just because money's so hard to come by.
Yeah. And there's like so many variables. Like, it was going to be on the internet, you know, that's different also. Or am I just doing it in some dark room? Because,
or like, do you get to pick the penis that you're sucking? Like,
I think one thing too, though, is would you mentally be able to do it good enough? Or like, you know what I mean? Over time, like, would you be able to like, because like, you know, I think there's a mental piece to it that you don't really like, you could think about and you could like speculate on, but like when you're there and there's a 9-inch dick in your face, you're like, fuck, do I really want to do this?
I feel like as long as you're not very teethy, like I've had my dick sucked by a fair number of people and it's all been fine. It's all been good. Some are better than others. Just don't bite it or don't be too teethy and it's fine. So like, I feel like if it's a dark room and like, you know, just give me the 50 grand. Let's just not talk about it.
I'll tell you, I have to get paid first, but
yes, I need 80% up front and the final 20% when we're done. Cause I don't want you walking out on me while I'm like mid blowjob.
Yeah. Although a free dick around here. Right?
Although I don't know, man, maybe I'd be so good at it that they'd be like, dude, I want seconds. And I'd be like, yeah, it's another 50 grand, man.
Sorry about it.
But it was a fun thought. It was a fun thought. And it's funny because, like I said, like, well, like, remember, like, in high school, they'd be like, oh, would you blow a dude for $1 million? I'd be like, no. Oh, that's gay. I wouldn't do it. It's like, yeah, I would. I absolutely would. Do you know how much money $1 million is?
Yeah. I'd quit my job today.
Yeah. I'd pay off my house. I'd pay off my girlfriend's car. Like, put the rest in the bank and just live off the interest. I'd invest in some businesses. I would totally like blow a dude or bang a dude for $1 million. Listeners,
yeah,
if you have $1 million, I will have sex with you. Man or woman. Doesn't matter.
Yep.
Come on over.
Agreed. I bet you my wife wouldn't even mind.
Well, it's a business decision. It's not cheating. It's a transaction. Well, same thing. Like, if my girlfriend was like, hey, like this rich dude's gonna bang me for $1 million, I'd be like, okay. That's yeah. Sweet. That's not again. That's paid? Not cheating. That's a business transaction.
Yeah, like you agreed upon it.
Yeah, I mean, there's like the moral thing behind it, but $1 million is $1 million.
Yeah, fuck morals, dude. Morals are overrated.
Yeah, we're all gonna die anyways. So just have fun. Have fun and play fantasy football.
You'll be the nicest person. You're still gonna piss someone off. So be all right.
Yeah, I was gonna say someone hates Mr. Rogers. He was like the nicest man on the planet. Actually, you know what's funny? Speaking of Mr. Rogers, I read an interesting thing about him today, coincidentally. Maybe it ties into the blowjob thing, I don't know. But he had a massive popular show, and he had pet fish in the background. And then a blind girl would listen to the show. And she was worried that he didn't feed the fish. So then every episode until he ended, he would talk about feeding his fish on the TV show. So the blind girl knew that he was feeding the fish.
How'd she know there was a fish there?
Because he said he had pet fish.
Okay.
And then she was worried that he wasn't feeding him. So then he would talk about how he's feeding the pet fish on every episode.
I used to watch that show as a kid. And the only reason I watched it was I could wait for that little fucking train to come by.
You know what's fun? I watched that show religiously as a kid, and I don't remember like anything about it other than "Won't you be my neighbor?"
Right.
And I think there was like a puppet, or like two puppets. Like I think there was puppet people, but I don't remember. And I do remember he would like change his shoes and like his jacket into like a nice sweater and like loafers from like he'd wear like a business suit coming into the house.
Yeah. But, and then he would take it off and hang it in the closet.
Mm-hmm. He was like an old school dad. Like that's like what dads did when they came home from work.
Just coming home from work, dude. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Speaking of work, let's get into it. So tonight we're gonna break down the early half of the games. But before we get there, we got a little bit of news to cover. It's been confirmed, unfortunately, Nick Chubb's injury is season ending. I'm just worried that it's career ending, man, and that sucks. I love Nick Chubb. Like,
it's possible when there are some doctors out there posting stuff, articles and Twitter posts and stuff saying that like when they first saw it, they were worried that it could like sever an artery.
Yeah. It's like the Teddy Bridgewater.
And then it's like you have a chance of losing your leg, and it's like, holy shit, that's another level. That's worse than career ending, right? Like it's career ending and future career making life more difficult, I guess.
It doesn't help that he had the same injury at Georgia on the same knee, and now he did it again. And like, it sucks because Nick, he's so talented. Like, he's so fucking good.
Do you think the NFL is going to do anything about that type of thing? Here's the problem, right?
Do you think Minka did it on purpose?
No, but I think he went low on purpose. Right, I don't think he like. I don't think anyone's tackling any. Like, there's probably players out there that would do that. Like, not the NFL's not the nicest bunch of people. Always, there's some shady people out there, but like, I don't think he was trying to hurt him.
I think, but Minka,
he did go low.
He probably went low because Nick Chubb's so hard to tackle, so you get him low.
That's what I mean. Is that are they gonna? You can't hit him in the head. Can't, but it's because injuries. If this type of thing keeps happening. Running backs are talking about not getting paid, then they're going to be like, well, at least don't let our fucking legs get taken out and have the season be ended if you're not going to pay us. Something's got to give, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I
just wonder. And then it's going to be like just big-ass running backs just bulldozing people the whole time because...
Yeah, well, then like guys like Micah Parsons, when they're coming through like college, they'll be like, don't play linebacker, play running back because they can't tackle you. They can't hit you high and they can't hit you low. No, because like it's tough because it's you hate to see things like that happen, but it can happen. And then the problem is if you take away low hits or at least they got rid of targeted or head hunting, and that I understood that made sense. But if you take away like you can only aim for chest or like stomach, so now pretty soon the NFL is going to become two hand touch or flag football. It's not going to be
it could still be tackle football, but it'll be too many touchdowns. The biggest comparison, though, is not even the head. It's the defenseless receiver, where, back in the day, you used to be able to just go knock the ball out.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter if they were not facing you yet. Now you got to like wait for them to land and be facing you before you can try to tackle them.
Well, that's why now like every quarterback throws for like 4,000 or 5,000 yards. Where in the old days, like 2,800 yards or like 3,000 was like unheard of if a quarterback threw for 3,000. Now, so if a quarterback throws for 3,000, you're like, oh, terrible year for that guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's totally true. It's just an evolving of the game, right? It's just interesting to think, like, I wonder if they're going to do something about that, make running backs more valuable because they can't be tackled now, too. I don't think they will, but it's just interesting to think about.
It's just sad to see a career potentially end over that. Like, it's really, I mean, I love Nick Chubb, and I really hope he gets healthy and comes back next year or the following year stronger, better. But
yeah, it's not even just a career. He's potential. If he had a full healthy career, he'd be a potential Hall of Famer, at least at the rate he was going.
Dude, he was averaging like five something a carry. Like,
yeah, if he did that for 8 years, yeah, he'd have been in the Hall of Fame, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's just sad. Like, I loved Nick Chubb coming out of college. I loved him in college. So it's just, you know, I hope he gets better. But
yeah.
All right, moving on. Anthony Richardson, I think he's cleared the concussion protocol, but Colts offensive coordinator Jim Bob Cooter said the team does not plan to scale back Anthony Richardson's rushing usage despite already having a concussion. I get it, but that's also kind of worrisome because he's your franchise quarterback and you're like, nah, let's keep doing what we're doing. And he's already had a knee injury and a concussion, and it's only been two games. So
yeah, I get it. I mean, you got to play to your strengths, right? Mm-hmm. Like, well, limit the length of his career, possibly. But, you know, the teams are trying to win now.
It's true.
Or maybe not right now, but in the next few years. So,
mm-hmm. Jamal Williams, running back for the Saints, will be out for the immediate future. Seems like he has a pretty semi-serious hamstring injury. Kendre Miller, they said would have played if they needed him to, but since he was limited all week, they went ahead and sat him. So Kendre Miller, you know, Alvin Kamara is coming back soon. So I think the Saints will be all right. Kendre Miller, if he's available in your leagues, definitely pick him up.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, at least for if you're spending like five fab or less to get him, which you probably could, mm-hmm. because he's not one of these guys behind somebody who's injured. I guess he is, but you're only getting 1 week out of him, right? Because yeah. Then Kamara's back. Like, you could possibly get more depending upon the usage, but next week he should be a pretty solid, you know, little placeholder for him at the minimum.
It's because it's not going to be Tony Jones or whoever the fuck. Or Tony Jones on Denver now.
No,
well, I don't even know
Junior,
who.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Kareem Hunt visiting the Browns today, but we were just talking about it pre-show. He wasn't good last year, so I understand why they're interested in him, but meh. Does that move the needle for you? Are you interested in picking up Kareem Hunt?
No, because I think that even if they pick up Kareem Hunt, I think the usage will be similar to what we were seeing last year with Kareem Hunt. So maximum 10 touches a game. You might get a good game out of it if you're lucky, but Bruno, Kareem Hunt last year, let me look it up real quick. It was not good. He had one good big game to start the season. And then he really struggled. I don't think he got, yeah, the first game, 4 targets, 4 receptions, 24 yards and a touchdown, 46 yards and a touchdown on the ground, 21 points. He only scored more than 10 points one time after that last year.
Yeah.
Several games, he averaged less than 3 yards a carry. Sure, he only got 4 or 7 touches, but, you know, there's a reason they moved on from him. He's 27. I think he's going to be 28 in the middle of the season. And he hasn't looked that good recently. Like, last year was his first year under 4 yards per carry for the season long. I don't anticipate it's going to be any better.
Yeah. Although, speaking of running backs that could be on the move, Cam Akers, he was the healthy scratch placed on the trading block. There's reports that the Bucks, Ravens, Raiders, and Cleveland have reached out to the Rams And it's funny, you're like the most anti Cam Akers person I know, but you were like, if he goes to Cleveland, you'd be interested in Cam Akers.
That's the only place I'd be interested. And it's not even that I'd be interested in Cam Akers. I'm just interested in having a running back behind that offensive line.
Well, especially like look at Jerome Ford yesterday. I mean, he's not a bad running back. Like, to me, honestly, Jerome Ford is just kind of a guy, but he came in relief of Nick Chubb. 16 for 106.
He didn't have like a 70 yard run though, which is count. It counts, right? I'll tell you what, if they traded for Cam Akers, I think Ford wins out that battle after a couple weeks.
Well, I'm sure. But I mean, you know what? But that O line is legit, because even right before Nick Chubb got hurt, he was like 10 carries for 60 yards or something before
he was ridiculous.
And it's funny because I watched a little bit of the game, and just a couple of the runs, man, it was just, dude, Nick Chubb, he was just making it look so easy. He was on his easy. If Nick Chubb didn't get hurt, he was going to run for like 140 and probably two touchdowns.
There's a reason I drafted him first in the home league, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that kind of shit just going to happen sometimes. So
yeah, that's football for you. Brandon Ayuk, wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers, had a CT scan yesterday on his shoulder, showed that there's no break in his clavicle, so he is going to be limited. So keep an eye on that, because that can really affect a wide receiver. And then Saquon Barkley. This is confusing to me, because they were talking about how he was going to miss a couple weeks, but now head coach Brian Daboll is saying that Saquon's already made considerable progress over the last 2 days. I don't think he's going to play on Thursday, but Brian Daboll said, I'm not saying he's out yet. So I think
that Brian Daboll is full of shit.
He
just doesn't want a team to game plan against his god awful looking New York Giants without Saquon Barkley. So if he can get one more game where they're going to have to plan for him possibly playing, then it's going to make his life a little easier. Because without Saquon Barkley, I don't know. That team doesn't look good.
Oh, they're terrible. And then what's funny is they're playing San Francisco on Thursday. And as of today, I mean, we'll get to it when we get to the game breakdown. But I think San Francisco is favored like minus 10. But, dude, they're going to win by like 40. Like, it's gonna be bad without Saquon. Although I am interested in Matt Breida after they play San Francisco. I don't think short week against a tough defense. And Matt Breida, I don't know. He's okay. He's an okay player, so he's starting running. He'll be a starting running back.
I mean,
oh yeah, no, you have to get him now. Absolutely. And then the last bit of news I have here, not super big, but still kind of something. Zonovan Knight, who was actually pretty good last year in stints with the Jets last year, he has been activated to the promoted to the active roster for the Detroit Lions. So, you know, David Montgomery's going to miss some time. So it's going to be, you know, the Jahmyr Gibbs show, but then Craig Reynolds is, you know, okay. And then I think Zonovan Knight.
I'm concerned that it won't be the Jahmyr Gibbs show, honestly. Because even when Montgomery went down,
they went to Craig Reynolds.
It went to Craig Reynolds. Yeah. So I don't know.
And actually, I think Zonovan Knight's actually a pretty good running back. He looked pretty good last year with the Jets. So
they just had too much of a crowded running back room in New York. So they had to get rid of somebody.
You drafted Breece Hall. You signed Dalvin Cook. Michael Carter. Yeah, Michael Carter is good. So it's like Zonovan Knight was odd man out, you know? I think I wouldn't rush to pick up Zonovan Knight. But like, you know, like how you can do the little star, little checklist player watch. I would add him to my watch list because I think he might be a name you want to keep an eye on. Because I said in a couple games last year, he was a top 24 running back on a couple games last year. So
but you have to see if he can outperform. What's his face?
Craig Reynolds.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the I'm not afraid of a guy named Craig Reynolds.
No, it's a doable task. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. That's it for news. Before we get to the game breakdown, Fish, do you want to plug your article? You got your second article out there now.
Yeah, it's out right now. It was released today. You can find it on my Twitter at FFootballFish, or you can find it on the Sports Affiliation's Twitter at the Sports Affili. But it's on the sportsaffiliation.com. So you can go to the sportsaffiliation.com and you'll see it. It should be right on the top because it's a brand new article. But it's just called Fish's Defensive Stream Week 3. It'll be out every week, Tuesday or Monday, really late. Why don't you have it out there before waivers clear? Some waivers clear on Tuesday, and if you're in one of those leagues, quit.
Actually, that reminds me, in one stupid dynasty league we're in closed on fucking Tuesday, and I didn't do any waiver claims again. I hate that fucking league. I want to quit that league so bad. It's like, why do you have to be different? Why does it have to be fucking Tuesdays? And it's a dynasty. I mean, there's like nobody. There's like nobody out there.
No, it's got a large bench too. One question before we get into these games. We might have to breeze through these games, but how much do you like dynasty or redraft more?
That's, I don't know. To me, that's like unfair. That's like asking which one's your favorite child. Cause I love both for different reasons.
They're totally different. Cause I don't know if I enjoy dynasty that much.
You know what's funny? Actually, I think I like keeper. I think keeper is probably my favorite. Cause I love drafting and I love getting a new team every year. It's like having a brand new tool. It's Buzz Lightyear. You know, when Andy got his new toy, it's exciting. Dynasty's fun. See, the problem with Dynasty, though, it's tough because I don't know whether I want to try. And the problem is I want to win now all the time. But some teams you're like, I can't. I don't have. And then it's tough, too, because I do enjoy our Empire League because it's with our friends. And that one's more interesting to me. The one that we have with Rome, the NDL, that one's fun too, because again, it's with our friends. But like the ones with random people, I think I'm done doing dynasty with random people.
To me also, it's like, I'm not, you know, you've played with me for a long time.
Yeah.
I don't trade that often.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's always like, I either want to rip them off or they want to rip me off and it's just never going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, there's balance trades do happen, but for me, for Dynasty, I'm like, I'm not going to trade away a position for another position. I'll just wait till next year. I'm not aggressive enough with it, but I don't know. I've just, my teams are fine in Dynasty. Mm-hmm. Like I'm doing all right. You know, I'm not doing bad. I'm just like, I think I like something fresh every time.
Yeah. And like redraft, although I enjoy redraft, but like, I think secretly I like keeper the most because you don't get to keep the whole team, but if you can keep like 1, 2, 3 players, so you can keep like a core piece of your team, kind of like how our home league just recently went to keeper. You know, I got to keep Tony Pollard for a 6th round pick, and that values insane.
Yeah, you got like Justin
Fields. Yeah, and you got Justin Fields with your last pick. You know, so it's like that's pretty fucking cool. Although. But at the same time, maybe redraft, I have a bias towards it because that's what we've done a lot longer. Because Dynasty didn't really start playing until like 3 or 4 years ago. Like I said, I like Dynasty because it is kind of fun. Because like in the past, you know, I've always drafted players like a year or two too early. And then it's like, dang. Like,
yeah.
You know, if no, only. Like
it definitely. It has its place. I don't think it should go anywhere. I just think I should do less Dynasties and more. Redrafts. Keeper's the perfect happy medium, really.
Yeah, because like I said, you get to keep a couple guys, and actually I think with the Empire League I might take a league vote and make it, maybe it's not dynasty, it's just like super keeper. You keep like 6 and then we have a redraft every year. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. All right, we can talk about the games now. I was just curious.
Actually, I've been talking to
people about that lately.
Let's plug our friends over at Trophy Smack real quick. If we're talking about dynasties and leagues and stuff. If you want cool trophies, belts, rings, blings, plaques, you name it, they got it. They're a cool fucking company. Get really cool stuff. Again, if you're listening to a fantasy football podcast, you're a degenerate fantasy football player like us. You take it seriously. So why don't you make your league more serious? buy a cool trophy, buy a cool ring. They even have grills. If you want to get a grill for your teeth, they have that. Like, that's there. If you, I don't know if you've been on the Trophy Smack website lately, they got a lot of cool stuff on there. And like you brought it up last time, they even have loser stuff. They have like unicorns and toilet bowls and things like that. So like, you can also celebrate. You can celebrate bad people in your leagues too. And it's just, it's fun. It's fun because, you know, like if, like at work, we have a work fantasy football league. And since I just started there not too long ago, it's like, hey, we're going to implement this trophy from now on. So like if you win the league, you get to have the trophy on your desk for the year. And then whoever wins it next year can have it. It's fun. It's fun. You get your name on it. It's fun.
Yeah, so it's a blast.
Yeah, so step up your fantasy game. Go to trophysmack.com/filthy. Supports the show. Support us. And get some cool stuff for your league. It's fun. All right, so let's talk some games. So we're going to talk about the Thursday night and the early slated Sunday games. First off, we got the 1-1 New York Giants taking on the 2-0 San Francisco 49ers. Vegas has the over-under 44.5 with the implied minus 10 for San Francisco, because that they know that the Giants suck. Although, who knows, dude? The Giants, they'll probably cover. Although, who knows? Maybe without Saquon. Could be tough.
But yeah, you never know. I mean, it's football. Anybody, if you're playing, you got a chance, but it doesn't look promising.
Although, for fantasy purposes, I don't know if I'd play anybody on the Giants this week, except maybe Darren Waller, just because tight end is gross.
Yeah, and just Darren Waller. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, Daniel Jones. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't even know if I want to play Barkley. Like, even if he plays, say he plays, like, with a banged up ankle against San Francisco, like, do you even want, I mean, you might be in a pinch where it's like taking a risk on Barkley's better than what you got. But if you have another option, you might want to consider just pivoting just this week.
Definitely. Yeah. If Barkley somehow finds a reason to play, I'd probably steer clear. I mean, in the Filthy Fantasy Football League, Friends of the Show League, I benched Najee Harris because he sucks. And even though I drafted him in like the second round, it's like, I can't fucking use this guy. And I was correct. He only scored like 4 points last night. So it's,
yeah, he looks terrible.
You know what's funny? Najee Harris, I swear he runs in slow motion. Like, yeah,
he was playing against some strong run defenses the first couple of weeks, but it doesn't look that great.
Yeah. But then
just,
on the other
side, like the eye test,
other side of the ball, play everybody on San Francisco, play their kicker, play their defense, play everybody. It's
yeah.
The Giants defense can't stop fucking anybody. And they have some studs on that defense, which is kind of funny to me. But
yeah, do you have any worry about, not like obviously you're going to start him, but Chris McCaffrey's workload so far? 85% of snaps and 100% of snaps, about 25 touches each game.
I get a feeling that Elijah...
They're not trying to change the pace with Elijah Mitchell at all, really.
Mm-hmm. I could see Elijah Mitchell getting some play this week, though, just because I think he didn't have an offensive snap at all on Sunday. And on the short week, I don't know if they, you know, they got, because, I mean, Christian McCaffrey's absolutely crushing it. He's torching the earth right now, which is fantastic. But, like, if I'm Kyle Shanahan, I might be like, dude, we still got 20 games to go if we're going to win a Super Bowl.
That's so insane. I Christian McCaffrey stayed healthy last year, but I don't know if you want to run the risk of 25 touches a game through the season. I mean, I get that you kind of need to as much as you can, but. Man,
well, especially in the past, McCaffrey hasn't really played a full season ever. Like, he's missed time, you know, just because it's a tough position, you know, takes a toll on you. So, I mean, look what happened to Nick Chubb. He's like the thickest man on the planet, and he had his leg broken in half. So it can happen to anybody. Yeah, yeah, no, the workload for McCaffrey does have me slightly concerned, but I mean,
but you roll him out until something happens. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it.
He's the best player. He's the best running back on the planet. Like, you keep playing him until further.
I just keep screaming, please save him for the playoffs.
Yeah. Christian McCaffrey should take a page out of Tyler Lockett's book and don't get tackled. Just lay down. Like, if you see a guy coming, just lay down. Don't.
Running back, you can't do that quite as often, but yeah,
That's true. All right. Moving on. We got the 1-1 Indianapolis Colts taking on the 2-0 Baltimore Ravens. over under is, where are you? Looking for, there you are. 45 with the Ravens favorite at -8. Baltimore, I don't know. Baltimore just looks off to me.
I mean, they're 2-0.
They are, but it's like a weird 2-0.
I mean, their defense is still good, and the offense is still underperforming. Mm-hmm. I mean, Baltimore, really, if you think about Baltimore, I heard this. I don't know where I heard it at, so, but I'm stealing it from somebody. If you know who they are, give them credit. Mm-hmm. But it's just the same thing as last year. It's just Mark Andrews, the run game, Lamar Jackson, and a bunch of wishy-washy receivers.
Mm-hmm. But for fantasy purposes, Zach Moss had every touch, all the touches.
Tougher matchup, but I think that if you're like in one of those positions where you got an injured running back and you're just plugging them in, it's not the worst option.
Mm-hmm. I'd play him just because. I mean, he looked good. He almost carried 5 yards a carry, 18 for 88 and a touchdown. And they're clearly over Deion Jackson. They're like, dude, fuck that guy. Like,
yeah,
he's not a thing. I'd play Michael Pittman. And actually, sneaky play. I actually kind of like Kylan Granson. He's the tight end 8 on the year. Last week, 3 for 16 and a touchdown. Week before, 4 for 39. I mean, tight end's such a gross position. If you're in, especially in a tight end premium league, I think you could do worse. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Would you play Anthony Richardson despite the knee and concussion?
God, I don't know. Probably not against Baltimore. I feel like he's going to get a couple turnovers in this game. And plus, he might not last. He might not even play. Let's be real.
That's true.
Don't know.
We have to wait to see if he clears. Yeah.
But I would probably try to avoid it against Baltimore. I like everything I've seen from so far. It just seems like a big risk to do that here. And you could probably stream somebody against a much easier matchup.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some streaming options. I like, I mean, I'd play Brock Purdy against the Giants, on Thursday over Anthony Richardson, or I'd play, Jordan Love over Jordan Love's been good. I play Baker Mayfield over him. So, mm-hmm. There's a couple guys I'd play over him. For Baltimore, I don't know, I'd play everybody. Actually, no, that's a lie.
No, I'd play Jackson. I'd try to steer clear of the running backs here. I mean, they're pretty much splitting the workload. Seems like Gus Edwards got red zone work last week and Justice Hill got it the week before, so that's kind of a wash. I like Zay Flowers.
I'd play Zay Flowers, yeah.
Pretty consistent, like flex or wide receiver 3. I don't think I'd play any other receiver, though. And obviously, Mark Andrews.
Yeah, but Mark Andrews is a given. Although, Gus Edwards, like, I like Gus Edwards. I think he's super talented, but 10 for 62, and what saved the day was a touchdown. But, like, he didn't do anything that great. Like, he's not J.K. He's clearly not J.K. Dobbins. So.
I mean, he averaged 6 yards a carry.
That part's nice, but only 10 carries.
They just didn't run him enough, right?
Yeah.
That's the kind of the game here is you're not going to get – you're going to need a touchdown because you're probably not going to get enough volume from either of these guys.
That's the thing. If you're only going to get 10 carries, it's like, no, that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. We got the 1-1 Tennessee Titans taking on the 1-1 Nick Chubbless Cleveland Browns. Over under is a gross 39.5 with Cleveland still favored at -3 because Tennessee is awful.
They're both
Tennessee's awful. So, dude, I don't know. It's just bad.
The Browns have a good defense, but they cannot move the ball.
No.
Deshaun Watson does not look good.
And they paid that man like $230 million, which is.
Yeah.
He sexually assaulted the city of Cleveland.
He sure did.
But. I mean, I don't know. For fantasy, you know, you still play Derrick Henry, obviously. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins. I love DeAndre Hopkins. Like, you know, week one, it wasn't the greatest thing, but he had 13 targets, which I liked. But then against the Chargers, which is a bad team, 5 targets and only 5 for 40 or 4 for 5 for 40. So that's like kind of gross. And then, what's this? Treylon Burks, you know, 4 targets. And, He went 3 for 76, which isn't bad, but that's because like 50 yards came on one catch. Like, I just, I don't know. Yeah. Like, it's like you want to play them, but like Ryan Tannehill sucks.
Yeah. I mean, I really like Treylon Burks, but yeah, you can't play him right now. I think he could, you know, this, if this offense could evolve a little bit and be a little more high powered, I think they could both be good, but they just aren't.
Mm.
And, you know, with Derrick Henry, they kind of don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, unless they have to pass, like, and I don't think this is the end they're going to have to pass in.
No, because they're still going to just give him 20 plus carries.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. But for Cleveland, I'd play Jerome Ford. I'm interested. I'm buying into it, at least for this week, because, you know, they haven't traded for Cam Akers yet. They haven't signed Kareem Hunt yet. So it's going to be the Jerome Ford show, and he looked good. That O-line is good, so fuck it. I'd roll Jerome Ford out there.
Yeah, even if they sign somebody, Ford should be good this week. And then the next week, it really depends who they sign and how they look in practice and everything to see. But I think regardless, it's Ford's role for someone else is going to have to take that away.
Yeah, I would
foresee Kareem Hunt or Cam Akers or Leonard Fournette being able to do that.
And then, I don't know, you drafted Deshaun Watson to be your quarterback, so I guess you could play him. And I'd still play Amari Cooper. He even like, you know, there was rumors he wasn't going to play, but he still got 10 targets, went 7 for 90. So that's still a good game.
Yeah, Amari Cooper was just fine. I think that Deshaun in this matchup, I mean, I guess it's fine. I would say my favorite, but he's only on the season, he's quarterback 15. So he's, you know, he's only a couple touchdowns away from being a top 12 quarterback.
Yeah. All right, moving on. The game I'm actually really looking forward to. 2-0 Atlanta Falcons taking on the 1-1 Detroit Lions. Over-under is at 46, with Detroit favored at -3. I love what Atlanta's doing right now. Like, they're Bijan Robinson, you know, like Rome and I last night were just, like, fawning over him because he looks so good out there. Like, it's been a while since we've seen a running back come in and be just so dominant, right? Like, Saquon Barkley was like that when he first came into the league. Zeke was. Who else was? Christian McCaffrey was pretty explosive right off the bat. So it's nice to see, like, a new wave of stud. Plus, like, you know, Bijan was drafted within the first 8 picks. He was a first-round draft pick. And for him to be the guy we thought he was, love it. I'm so happy about that.
Yeah, it's great to see. And even Algier, like, he didn't have a great game against the Packers, but he's getting used still.
He's on 16 carries. So
they're really trying to hide Ridder. You hear it all over the place. It's the truth. You know, I'm not the first to say it. I'm not going to be the last to say it. I like what they're doing in the sense of if they can stay in games, but once a game gets out of hand, it's gonna be bad.
It's shocking that they're
into that. They haven't run into that opportunity yet. Yeah. But
I think Detroit wins this game, though. This is a get right game for Detroit. Their defense is pretty good, and I think their offense has been good. I'd still play Algier, though, with that being said, because even though it wasn't the greatest fantasy day, he still had 16 carries. So
yeah, you're chasing volume at that point.
Like, exactly. And not a lot of running backs get that many carries in a game. And the fact that this guy's splitting time and he still gets 16 carries, I'm all in on that. And then Drake London finally scored 6 for 67 and a touchdown. But would you play him? You drafted him so early.
It depends what you have. You might have one of those receivers that went late where you could start play him, or you might have, you know, if you stacked receivers early, you might be able to avoid it. But you're kind of counting on a touchdown. They don't have enough passing volume to, like, really consistently sustain Drake London getting 100 yards. And the same thing goes for Kyle Pitts, right? It's the same story. They don't pass it enough. Like, even in this last game, Drake London had 7 targets, which is all right. But that's not bad. Kyle Pitts had 5. Like, you know, Mac Hollins had 6. So when they are passing, they're spreading the ball around, chasing touchdowns. And I really don't like having to chase touchdowns if I can avoid it.
The thing is, like, just, I don't know, man. It's If it wasn't for like the namesake and the talent, I wouldn't even roster Kyle Pitts. Actually, I have zero shares of Kyle Pitts in any of the leagues I'm in. And I'm in a bunch of leagues and I'm like, I don't want Kyle Pitts because I don't really want any of the pass catchers for Atlanta.
Yep, I'm the same. I have one share of Drake London in a dynasty league where I picked him up when he was a rookie. But yeah, other than that, and until they get a new quarterback, I think these guys would be great if they had a good quarterback. If they had like Kirk Cousins there, I could see them both being 1,000-yard receivers, but they don't.
Yeah.
Have Kirk Cousins there.
See, that's the thing. Like, I wish they would just play Taylor Heinicke instead. Because, like, Heinicke, like, he's not the great, but he's willing to throw it. Like, he'll huck the ball. And, you know, he'll scramble around. He plays schoolyard ball. He'll run around, and then he'll try to find an open receiver and huck the ball down the field. And so, I don't know. But
the
until
problem is he's 30 years old, Heinicke, which isn't that old. Quarterbacks can make it. He could probably play another 8 years if he was in good enough shape. But, mm-hmm. like, they want to find somebody young to get more time out of.
Absolutely. Other side of the ball for Detroit. Jared Goff, I'd, you know, fire him right up. I think, you know, he's a quarterback 11 on the year. He's doing great things. For the running backs, though, I mean, I obviously you play Gibbs, but if Montgomery's out, I don't know if I'm rushing to play Craig Reynolds.
Yeah, I'm not rushing to play Craig Reynolds. Yeah, I'm not either. Gibbs is fine. Like, you expect him to start to get more involved and more productive over time here. Like, his first week he had averaged 6 yards a carry, but he only had 7 carries. This last week he only had 7 carries, but he was targeted on 9 times. So they're using him in the passing game quite a bit. I think it'll come. I think, you know, you haven't seen it yet, but I think that I would still roll him out there as like a flex. You know, if you drafted him to probably be your RB1 or 2, which makes it tough, but you know, his time will come.
Yeah, well, you drafted Gibbs in the first 3 rounds, so yeah, I'd fire him up. For Detroit, we are talking about Detroit. Obviously, you're going to play Amon-Ra St. Brown, but I think Josh Reynolds is, I think he's a weekly play until further, just because he's wide receiver 10 on the year. You know, he's week one, 7, he went 4 for 80, then last week, 5 for 66 and 2 touchdowns. Josh Reynolds is a focal point of this offense right now as well. And I think you should play him until further.
Yeah, I agree. You have to, you know, ride the train while it's high. And that's kind of gets back into the conversation of, like, you know, when you talk about Gibbs, like, if you're in the right opportunity, you could bench Gibbs if you're worried that he's only going to get 10 points. It's just where you drafted him, you might not have a better option. Like, I always like to go for high upside with a decent floor. And I feel like that's what you get with Gibbs. Like, the floor is not zero, so you're good there.
I would play Josh Reynolds over Drake London.
If you had Jahmyr Gibbs and Josh Reynolds on the same roster
for flex
in one flex spot, everything else
I'd play Josh Reynolds. I think Josh Reynolds is he's doing good things right now and he's looking really good out there, so I'd go that route. All right, moving on. Got the 2-0 Saints take. Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say I've liked what I've seen out of Sam Laporta so far.
Oh yeah.
As well.
How could I forget my boy? I love Sam Laporta. I think he's a weekly play as well.
He's bound to start getting in the end zone. Like, you know, he's getting five, six targets the first 2 weeks, 5 receptions each week. So not the most yards. So if you're playing in a non-PPR, I still think you do it because it's tight end.
Yeah, but what have we said? 30 yards and a touchdown is all you need. And a touchdown will come for Sam Laporta eventually. It's coming.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll be this week.
Get better.
Yeah.
He's only going to get better.
I'm just surprised how right off the bat they're using him in that offense as a rookie, you know? Because tight end is like the slowest developing position. Because even like Travis Kelce wasn't what he is his rookie year. You know, Gronk wasn't Gronk his rookie year. You know, it takes time for tight end to develop. And the fact that Laporta, like, I almost want to trade away Travis Kelce in our home league so I can play Sam Laporta. Because I think I can get a pretty good return on Travis Kelce.
Yeah, you probably could.
And I like Sam. I like Sam Laporta. It's just when you have Travis Kelce, you don't play Laporta over Travis Kelce. So
yeah, you don't.
Yeah. All right, moving on. 2-0 Saints taking on the 1-1 Green Bay Packers. Over-under is 43 with the Packers favorite at -2. The Saints are a very confusing team to me because they're playing really good. They're playing good defense, but like their offense is.
They can't move the ball.
The
offensive line is terrible. So they can't establish a run game. They can't protect Derek Carr. When Derek Carr gets the ball out, those wideouts look good. Michael Thomas looks good. Olave looks good. Shaheed looks good. Like, if they could figure out a way to get some time back there in the backfield, like their offense could be cooking. It's just the offensive line's really holding them back.
Yeah, it's bad, but for fantasy purposes, I think I'm only playing Olave and Thomas. I don't really want to go with any of the running backs because I don't know what it's gonna look like. So
yeah, Williams is gonna be gone, right? So it's gonna be Tony Jones and probably Kendre Miller.
Mm-hmm.
That's a risky play to try to play a rookie that you haven't seen yet, who wasn't even really a high draft cap. You know, this guy's on the waiver wires in league still.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's not like he's a superstar. I mean, he could be. He could pan out to be, right? You don't know. But it's not like he's got the pedigree. You don't expect that out of him. You expect him to be decent running back, and I don't think it's worth the risk.
And I think Shaheed, in a deep league, I think he's flex worthy. He's getting involved.
Yeah, I agree.
So, and he's the wide receiver 23 on the year right now, so I'd be fine with playing Shaheed. Other side of the ball, Jordan Love is like quietly the quarterback 2 on the year. Like it's well,
he's got 6 touchdowns, right? Like the only person I think more touchdowns, and I don't know if he has more. I think he has the same.
No, they're tied. They're tied at 6. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's silly, isn't it? But leading touchdown passes, Kirk Cousins and Jordan Love.
I would not have guessed that preseason that Jordan Love and Kirk Cousins would be the quarterback 1 and 2 in fantasy right now. Although the Kirk Cousins one isn't as shocking just because of what that offense is.
Well, because they have to pass so much. But yeah, it's still silly.
But for fantasy purposes, I don't know, man. Green Bay's confusing me.
I don't think I'd want to start Jordan Love. The Saints defense have looked really good. They had 3 interceptions against Tannehill. They have 4 sacks against Bryce Young, 3 sacks against Tannehill. Like, they're getting turnovers. They're going to be able to stop this run, especially if Aaron Jones misses another week.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just going to be able to – I think they can lock down these receivers. I don't think
– Yeah, well, plus, like, the problem is, too, is week 1, it was Romeo Dubs, and then last week it was Jalen Reed. Christian Watson might be back this week. He was, like, a game-time decision – on Sunday. He's missed the last 2 weeks with a hamstring injury. So, I mean, I don't have any real faith on who the wide receiver to roster to play in this matchup. I think if Aaron Jones is out, I don't think I could play anybody on Green Bay comfortably.
Their defense.
Yeah, but yeah. Oh, that's right. You are writing defense articles. Yes. So yeah, the Green Bay defense is a good one because they're probably going to get 6 sacks. 5 or 6 yeah. sacks. So,
and probably a turnover or 2 out of created and, off that pressure.
So. And the Saints are probably going to score somewhere between 16 and 22 points. So, they're not going to give up a ton of points. So, it's going to be a low scoring game. I mean, the implied point total of over under 43, I'd probably take the under. I don't think there's going to be a lot of points in this game.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think if there are, then Green Bay is going to just kick the shit out of the Saints.
Yeah, it's going to be like 38 to 12. So, all right, moving on. We got the 0-2 Houston Texans taking on the 1-1 Jacksonville Jaguars. Over-unders at 44 with the Jaguars favorite at -9.5. So they're saying that the Texans are going to get boat raced, and they probably are. It's not going to be good for Houston on Sunday. For fantasy purposes, though, I mean, I'd still be rolling Damian Pierce out, even though he's been very disappointing. There's no running backs in the league, especially now that Chubb's hurt too. There's like nobody. So you play Pierce and I don't know. I'm starting Nico Collins and I'm starting Tank Dell. I think especially with the implied point total, Jackson was going to put up a lot of points. Houston's going to have to throw and Robert Woods is old. and Nico.
Bobby Trees is sneakily like not a bad flex play though. I mean, he's been targeted 19 times in the season.
That's true.
You know, the production's not quite all the way there, but like they're spreading the ball around. I'm fine with
all three of those guys. Yeah.
Yeah, in order, like I would go Nico first, then I would probably go with Tank Dell just because it's higher upside. Mm-hmm. And then I'd go with Robert if I was looking for the floor.
Yeah. And then on
and I can't wait. I honestly won't be surprised if, you know, Meshi slowly starts to get more involved. I think it's gonna take some time.
He
came back from cancer, right? So he's probably not in the best shape still. He's probably good enough shape, but not the best, not his top form. And then, you know, he's gonna have to slowly start getting up to professional game speed because that was his first game as a player.
Yeah. And then this one's easy. Jacksonville, play everybody. All right, moving on. 0-2 Denver taking on 2-0 Miami. Over under is at 48. Dolphins favored at -6.5. Denver, I don't know, man.
They suck, dude. I don't think Sean Payton's gonna be able to fix this. Maybe over time, but not in 1 year.
I'm not interested in anybody on Denver, at all.
Javonte, if you have to, because if you're one of those running back situations, you drop him running back hurt right now. Like Javonte, okay. Not being the NCF, yeah, he had a touchdown, but a bunch of yards. He's one of 2 targets.
I mean, you probably have to plug in Sutton and Judy just because of where you drafted him. I don't know if you have much better option. But honestly, like, you know, we kind of steered away from rankings. We kind of more have now looked start sit. But I would probably rank Nico Collins over both of those guys if I did rankings this week. Like, in all honesty,
I'd rank Nico Collins over everybody in Denver's receiving room.
Yeah,
100%.
So, like I agree, though. Like, if you have to play Javonte, and you probably do, you go that route. But it's, dude, Miami's defense is good, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's not going to be good.
Other side of the ball, play everybody. Although, keep an eye on Jaylen Waddle. He is in the concussion protocol still. So, moving on. A very gross game. 0-2 Chargers take on 0-2 Minnesota, which I should be excited about this game. Because I love – it's funny because the Chargers are my favorite team, and I actually do like the Vikings a lot. They're probably like my second or third favorite team. Like, I actually enjoy the Vikings. But over-under is 54, so the implied – and it probably is going to happen because both teams' defenses suck.
So I was going to say they're going to score – there's going to be 70 points in this game.
And then Vegas doesn't have a favorite in this game. It's even money.
It's going to be a tie.
Yeah. Dude, no, that's the thing. The over-under is 54, but I agree, dude. It's going to be probably closer to 70, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm actually – and the Chargers are going to find a way to lose because that's what we do. We're going to go 0-3 and then hopefully fire Brandon Staley.
God, get rid of that guy. Get him out of there.
It's so bad.
I feel like it's going to end like – my guess would be like 34 to 37.
Yeah, it's going to be close.
It could very well be one of those games where like for some reason nobody scores. Mm-hmm. Like a trap, you know.
Yeah, like, it's 14-13.
Yeah. But I think it's going to be a high scoring game.
Play everybody on both teams. If Eckler's out, I would play Josh Kelly again. I'd give him another chance.
Don't play Alexander Mattison if you don't have to.
Oh yeah, he sucks.
They don't even try to run it. We're just gonna pass it.
I dropped Madison in a league because I was like, dude, fuck this guy. Like, I don't even care that he's starting. Like,
hasn't gotten more. He had 11 carries week one, 8 in week two, but he still played 76% of snaps. They are not trying to run the ball.
Yeah, yeah. So you're playing everybody in this game. It should be fun. All right, we got the 0-2 New England Patriots taking on the 1-1 Jets. Over-under is a gross 37. Actually, I think this is the lowest projected game. It is. And it is going to be a low-scoring game. But over-under is 37 with the Patriots favored at -3. It's going to be a gross game. This won't be fun at all.
No, it's like, what do you even do with it, right? Like, so... Stevenson's had a decent 2 weeks, 10 points over 10 points the first 2 weeks, but the Jets defense is stingy as shit.
I'd play I'd play Hunter Henry. That's who I'd play.
Kendrick Bourne came crashing back down to earth in true Kendrick Bourne fashion. Like, this is what we said. He's going to be a boom bust player. And
he busted already. It didn't last very long.
Yeah. You don't want him dating your girl. He'll bust real quick.
Exactly. Yeah. I'd play Stevenson.
Hunter Henry is the spotlight here.
You know what's funny? But see, this just shows you what we always talk about. Like, this is why tight end is gross. He hasn't done anything that crazy. 5 for 56 in a touchdown, 6 for 52 in a touchdown. He's the tight end 2 on the year. So yeah. But I'd play Hunter Henry. I mean, I'm actually.
And you know what? After week 5, what tight end do you think he is?
He's probably going to be a top 6, realistically.
I think he falls a little bit, though. Between 8 and 10, because the Jets defense is good. The fucking Cowboys defense is really good. And the Saints defense is good, especially, you know, the Saints are actually pretty good against tight end.
Although, who knows?
The Jets in Dallas, that's actually where you can kind of get some work, is in the tight end.
So, if he keeps getting 30 to 50 a game and a touchdown, it'll keep up, which it might.
Yeah, who cares?
No, you never know. And then for the Jets, I don't know, man. Like, I guess you could throw out Garrett Wilson because you drafted him high and he is a stud. And he shows it last week, too. He only had 2 catches, but he broke one of them for like a fucking 60-yard touchdown. So,
but it's just Zach Wilson sucks so bad,
It's so bad.
He's worse than fucking Desmond Ridder.
Like, the Jets, honestly, they should try to sign Carson Wentz. See if Philip Rivers will come out of retirement. See if Tom Brady will come out of retirement. Because, like, go ahead.
I was gonna say we're just trying to trade for like
anybody,
a backup somewhere that's better than fucking. Like, I guess it's kind of like, do you want to tank and try to get a good quarterback?
Get Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I don't think they could tank that bad. I mean, they'd have to be.
Yeah, but there's that kid. Yeah. Who's playing for Tennessee or whatever, right? Not Tennessee.
There's like 5 or 6 kids out there right now that are like, I mean, obviously they're not all Caleb Williams prospects, but there's quite a few that like have potential, right?
Yeah.
And but Zach Wilson showing us what he has.
Like, I love Brees Hall, but God, last week only 4 carries for 9 yards. Now, granted, game scripted Brees Hall out because Dallas was destroying them, but that's the problem. New England has a legit defense too. Like, this could very well be a repeat of last week for the Jets.
Yeah, so. And Brees Hall is being eased back in, so they say. But the game script doesn't help.
No, because they're going to be honestly, behind.
Dalvin Cook didn't have any freaking carries. He also had 4 carries.
Although, who knows? This is such a low-scoring game that maybe Brees Hall and Dalvin Cook have good games because it's just going to be both teams running the ball.
Yeah, I mean,
it's going to be gross
against Buffalo. They both look good against Buffalo.
Honestly, I'd probably play Garrett Wilson just for the potential upside of him breaking one and scoring like he did last week. But realistically, I'd avoid everybody on the Jets. It's gross.
Yeah, I feel like that about all 3 of these guys: Brees Hall, Dalvin Cook, Garrett Wilson. Like, sure, like all 3 of these guys could have like a couple big plays to make it fantasy a decent fantasy performance, but I'm not counting on like sustained volume, and that scares me.
All right, moving on. The last game we're breaking down tonight, got the 1-1 Buffalo Bills taking on the 2-0 Washington Bullfrogs. Over under is 44 with the Bills favored at -6.5. Buffalo Bills looked like the Buffalo Bills last week. Josh Allen went there slinging the ball. Stephon Diggs doing Stephon Diggs things. Gabe Davis caught a touchdown. Like It was nice to see Buffalo be Buffalo again.
I think
James Cook got his James he had Cook's a great good. 17 for 123. God damn, man. Like, finally. Yeah.
I think the thing is, and I said it, I want to say it on last week's show that I was on, is the Jets have held Buffalo to under 20 points the past 3 games they've played.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not reading into it like Buffalo's bad or they're in trouble. I think they'll be just fine.
Yeah.
I think Josh Allen still probably turning the ball over a little bit too much, but you know, he didn't have any turnovers against the Raiders.
Yeah, but you know how the problem is, too. Divisional teams always play each other hard.
Right.
And the Jets have Buffalo's number, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah, I'd play everybody. I'd play everybody from Buffalo. They're going to be fine. Even Dalton Kincaid, man, he's coming along too. He had 6 targets last week, 5 for 43, and that's – he's the top – see, again, this is how gross tight end is. He went week 1, 4 for 26, no touchdowns. Last week, 5 for 43 and no touchdowns, and he's the tight end 13.
You know who's the tight end 12? Dawson Knox.
Dawson Knox, yeah.
Tight end, he's tight end 12.
Yeah, because he scored a touchdown.
So,
because he scored
exactly
a touchdown.
It's freaking disgusting.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know, but like I'm playing Cooks, I'm playing Diggs. I'd probably throw in Gabe Davis.
I was just gonna say, what about Gabe Davis?
He's a flag. I think he's
He's a boom bust play, but he can boom pretty big.
Yeah, that's the problem is, Gabe Davis is like Mike Williams. There's gonna be games where it's like 2 for 40. And then there's going to be games of like 4 for 110 and 2 touchdowns. So, yeah,
exactly.
But I'd probably still take a shot on Gabe Davis this week. I mean, he had a touchdown last week and but he got more targets. He went 7, but then 6 for 92. So Gabe Davis might be getting more, you know, so we'll see. I'd play him. I'd flex if he's flex. If you're in a 3 wide receiver league or a deep league and you need a flex, I'd be fine with Gabe Davis. And then, other side of the ball, Brian Robinson's he supplanted my beautiful chocolate man. It's his backfield. He looked great last week. I'd give him another go. Sam Howell looks okay. He's the quarterback 12 on the year. It's funny because I don't know. I like Sam Howell, but this is gonna be a tough game for him, actually.
Yeah, so this will be a tough matchup, and probably his first tough matchup because they did play Arizona and Denver.
That's true.
Interesting thing about Robinson is that Gibson's still getting on the field for about 40%, you know, 35 week 1% of snaps and then 48% week 2, but they're like not letting him run the football. They are like, absolutely not, sir. You are here to block and you're here to block only.
Yeah.
Because they will drop this shit.
Yes. And he was a wide receiver in college. So it's like, we'll just throw the ball to you and then lay down. Do the Tyler Lockett. Just lay down.
Yeah, but Brian Robinson's doing just fine.
He looks great. Yeah.
They aren't targeting the running back a whole lot there regardless, but
yeah. And then like, I love Scary Terry. I'm playing him. I'm playing him every week. Honestly, I love Scary Terry. And then Dotson, the talent is there. I just, you know, he's getting targets, got 7 week 1, 5 last week. I'd still go with Dotson just cause I think the talent and potential for him to score is there. Cause we've seen it. So I still think I'd be playing Dotson every week.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup for Dotson, but I mean, it's hard. I don't hate it, but my instinct tells me to not do it, right?
Although
like,
Buffalo
hasn't produced. Like what he's showing is not, like, it's not his fault, but it's not happening.
Yeah, but Buffalo has the potential to score a lot, so Washington's going to be behind early, so they're going to have to throw. So, I don't know. Maybe Dotson. Maybe I'm being too aggressive with him. Maybe I'd bench him until further. Like I'd willingly let him. You know, like let's say this is the week where he goes for 66 and a touchdown. I'd be like, okay, at least now I know that he's there. So,
yeah, for sure.
Cool. All right, well, that's the games we're talking about tonight. Look at that, just about an hour. So I think this is a good place to wrap it up. Check out Fish's article. As soon as this episode's done, I'm going to retweet it on the show page. Thank you for listening. We love and appreciate the support. Tell all your friends. Get us on social medias at Filthy F-Ball Shows, the show Twitter. Get Fantasy Fish at FFootballFish. Get Big Rome at Big Rome FFF. Instagram us, Filthy Fantasy Football Show, and send in your emails to filthyfantasyfootballshow@gmail.com. And again, thank you for listening. King Josh King.
Fantasy Fish, on behalf of Big Rome, have a good one.